Also this afternoon, this, a government fund to help restore historic railway lines that were closed 50 years ago is to be launched. Now, this is a £500 million fund. It's set to repair lines affected by the Beeching cuts half a century ago, but Labour has called them meaningless. The party claims the initiative will only open 25 miles of rail, and the Rail, Maritime and Transport Union have called the funds a drop in the ocean. Let's speak to Roger Blake, Infrastructure Director and spokesperson at Rail Future. Afternoon to you, Roger.
Good afternoon, Ian.
So just explain, what is this? What's going on? It doesn't, when you read the headline, you think, well, what are they talking about here? Beeching cuts and new lines and 500 million quid. What's going on?
Well, I think it's absolutely right that the government should be putting some initial money towards starting to address the country's hunger for a better connected, a bigger rail network. And first of all, yes, they're committing to looking at bringing Fleetwood back onto the rail network, and putting another £1.5 million into taking forward the Ashington, Blyth and Tyne, the Northumberland line up in the northeast. So that's welcome. And I think it may be true that £500 million doesn't buy you an awful lot of track. And so in the same way that the government has also announced a third round of a new stations fund, I think we would very much want to see this £500 million being the first of several injections to create a rolling programme that the industry can plan its longer-term future around.
And one reasonably assumes, Roger, this is all part, because this was in the Conservative Party manifesto, of course,
it was,
and that this is all part and parcel of their promise to expand focus beyond the South.
Yes, that's understandable. That's fine, and there are plenty of places around the North East, the North West, and other parts of the country as well, that are crying out to be reconnected to the rail network, because the history of the railways has been to bring prosperity, and the reverse has happened when those places lost their rail links. Mm. And that's an awful large part of the clamour to get railways back.
Will they be profitable?
That remains to be seen. It very much depends on the detailed studies that a lot of this £500 million, it has to be said, is actually going towards. Initially, there's going to be a lot of essential work to develop cases to make sure that the right kind of scheme comes forward address the capacity requirements and the operational requirements. So clearly we don't want to create more loss-making railways, but nevertheless we need to give those communities that have been cut off for so long the chance of re-engaging with modern life in a way that the lack of a railway has prevented them.
Well, they've only waited half a century, of course, for this to
happen. Well, some have actually waited longer. I mean, one of the places that's way bigger than even Fleetwood in the northwest, I think it's the first or second largest town there, was Skelmersdale, designated a new town in 1961, 5 years after the railway was closed in 56. Now, in 56, probably Dr. Beeching hadn't heard of railways, he was still with ICI.
Probably hadn't heard of Skelmersdale.
Some of these
either.
Closures go back even further than Beeching, but still need serious consideration.
And were they earmarked for closure initially back then because of their unprofitability? Were there other reasons? I know it was deeply political at the time, but what was Beeching and his predecessor's theory behind closing off these smaller connecting routes?
Well, I think there's no doubt that the railways had suffered from being badly beaten up in the Second World War, and subsequently, there was a lot of emphasis put on developing the domestic car industry and expanding the main road and motorway networks. And at that time, people largely thought that road transport was the future. Well, that has returned to haunt us, because we now see that we cannot build our way out of trouble on the roads. It just creates more and more congestion. There's obviously air quality and environmental pollution concerns. The railways are the green sustainable mode, and that is why railways are so much back in fashion, despite all the dissatisfaction that still exists, which largely arises because passenger numbers have doubled on a rail network that for the last 25 years has pretty much remained the same size.
And if this is...
by expanding the network, we can have any chance of meeting those rising passenger expectations.
Of course, and if this is to be taken seriously as part of a genuine effort to attempt to reconnect and put back important lines, as well as all the environmental considerations, etc., then as you alluded to at the beginning, Roger, this would have to sort of be phase one of other projects that will be similar to this, connecting all sorts of other parts of the north and elsewhere.
You make an absolutely solid point there, Ian, because I think we've seen with electrification, for example, the perils of stop-start, feast and famine. And the important thing is to develop the teams with the knowledge and the experience and the industry supply chain to maintain a steady flow of work. So this first 500 million should be seen as exactly that, the first 500 million. And wouldn't it be great if for the next few years the Transport Secretary could come along and announce further injections of this kind of funding so that we can actually spend more money on ballast and rails and less money on developing business cases, which is an essential first step.
You need one of these announcements every year, really, don't
we
you,
do.
For the next 10 years.
Absolutely, that's what we want.
Roger, on that point, great to have you on. Thank you. Roger Blake, Infrastructure Director and Spokesperson at Rail Future.